Not just in the world, you're going into a completely different thought system. So take a breath. And so what Spirit always says we need to do is breathe. Just breathe. I mean, really breathe. Think about it. Breathe. Tell yourself, what I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. What I know may not be all there is to know. Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Do I want to be right? I want you to think about something that you'd like to experience right now, something you'd like to experience right now, an experience you'd like to have, something that you'd like to happen to you right now. Think about something you'd like to happen to you right now, something you'd like to experience. And then tell yourself, if I make no decisions by myself, this will be given me. If I make no decisions without God, if I make no decisions without Spirit, if I make no decisions without the truth, this will be given me. If you get upset about something later on, it's not going the way you think you want it to go. The Course says that means that you made some decisions without checking in. And so now you're getting the result of your thoughts separate from God. So you tell yourself, you know what? I have no decision. I forgot what to decide. I forgot what to decide. If there's a feeling you don't like about anything bringing you a lack of peace, you say, at least I can decide I don't like what I feel now. You don't like it, say, at least I can decide I don't like how this feels. At least I can decide I don't like this feeling. At least I can decide I don't like what I feel. If you feel any kind of discomfort in any area of your life right now, say, at least I can decide that I don't like what I feel now. I don't like what I feel now. And then you follow that with, and so I hope I have been wrong. At least I can decide I don't like what I feel, and so I hope I have been wrong. I hope I have been wrong. I hope I have been wrong. I want another way to look at this. 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 Perhaps there is another way to look at this. Perhaps there is another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? Perhaps there's another way to look at this situation. What can I lose by asking? Perhaps there's another way to look at this person. What can I lose by asking? There's nothing to fear. 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 That's a fact. There's nothing to fear, but it's not a fact to those who believe in their fears. It's not a fact to those who believe in their fears, but your fears are not facts. In truth, in reality, there is nothing to be afraid of. In reality, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's very easy to recognize there's nothing to be afraid of, but it's very hard to recognize that there's nothing to be afraid of for somebody who wants to believe there's something to be afraid of. So the Course says, just repeat this idea as often as possible. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Use it with your eyes open in any situation. Use it with your eyes closed when you can. Whenever you have a moment, just take a minute and tell yourself slowly, there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to be afraid of. You are not alone. You are not without invisible help. There is nothing to be afraid of. It's particularly important to use there's nothing to fear if anything should disturb your peace of mind. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength, separate from the universe. You're trusting in your own strength, separate from God, when you're afraid. When you're afraid, you're thinking that you're on your own. When you are afraid, you think it's all up to you by yourself, and you don't know how to handle it. If you're afraid, it means you've forgotten that you have support. If you're afraid, it means you've forgotten that you have support. You're making decisions by yourself. You're trusting in your own strength. Wherever there is an awareness in you that there is nothing to be afraid of, wherever part of your life, whatever part of your life you feel like there is nothing to be afraid of, that's the part of your life that shows that somewhere in your mind, though not necessarily the place you recognize, you have remembered God. Whether you feel the peace and the love is where you realize it or not. Whether you realize it or not, you feel like you have some support. The instant you are willing to let the strength of God take the place of your weakness, you won't have anything to be afraid of. The minute you're willing to let the truth take the place of the illusion, you won't have anything to be afraid of. So the thought that we're going to say for about a couple of minutes, and I'm going to say, and anybody else wants to say it, they can. If you just want to listen, that's fine. Is there is nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. So we're gonna say that in a minute, and then you find this playlist. There's nothing to fear. Is what we're gonna say. And we're gonna tell spirit to bring it on. We're gonna tell spirit to bring it on. There is nothing to fear. 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 Take a breath. There is nothing to fear, but it was interesting how Cora said that that's very hard to believe for someone who wants their illusions to be true. Yeah. Somebody who wants to believe that their fears are really, really, really real, it's very difficult to convince them otherwise. I sure could use a smile. Y'all share one with me. Share one with you. Share one with me. All right? Yeah. It's okay. The safer I feel, the better I teach.
Hey, Rod.
Yeah. That's right. I'm already dark. You got this light behind me. I'm such a nice little chocolate color, aren't I? Remember only this. These are the guidelines for the course, especially if you're here for the first time. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to even welcome it. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you may actively resist means some of the ideas you may actively resist. Okay? Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. You will say stuff like, that's hard to believe. Okay? Sometimes I might say some things, you go, that's hard to believe. Okay? So you might say, that's hard to believe. Okay? And some of the things I say may startle you because you may already have it in your mind how you think it is. And then I may say something that's completely different from what you've been expecting to hear, and you get, oh, well, think about that. Get a little startled. Does anybody mind closing those blinds back there? So that I won't see such a glare from this side. Thank you. You are, oh, this is really the most important part. You're not asked to judge the ideas at all. If you use the ideas will show you that they're true. So that's pretty much it. If you're here for the first time, you don't have to believe it. And that's pretty much it. Last week we were talking about the correction of error from a Course in Miracles standpoint, how you correct error. And it's on page, you got your book, it's on page 166. I got some loaner copies up front if someone needs one. Call it now. The Course says each one of us has an ego. Each one of us has a self we made up that we think we are. All of us have a personality self, a self we made up, a self that we think we are. The Course calls that the ego. The ego is the part of us that thinks it's separate from everybody. The part of us that thinks it's separate. So if it's a part of you sitting right in here today and you think you're separate from everybody else in here and you think you're different and I think I'm different, the Course says, well, that's your ego. That's the ego part of your mind. So that's the one that walks around and judges. So the Course says the alertness of the ego to the errors of other egos is not the kind of vigilance that the Holy Spirit would have you maintain. Me walking around trying to be alert to everybody else's mistakes is not the kind of vigilance Spirit is asking us to have. Because you see, we are critical of other people in terms of the kind of sense we stand for. See, I judge you according to the kind of sense I stand for. And so the Course says to the Holy Spirit, to the voice for God, to our Creator, it doesn't make any sense at all. So according to the Course, we don't make any sense at all to higher intelligence. To the ego, it's kind and right and good to point out errors and correct them. So I love to point out your mistake and then help you correct it. And I'm going to point out your mistake and I'm going to correct it. I'm going to point out your mistake and then I'm going to correct it. I think that's kind and right and good to correct everybody. And the Course says that makes perfect sense to the ego because the ego is unaware of what errors are and what correction is. So the Course says anybody that thinks they're separate doesn't even know what the error is or how to correct the error. Because our whole premise is wrong. I am not separate from you. You are not separate from me. We are one. We are joined. So any conclusion that I come to based on being separate from everybody around me is not going to end up being at the ultimate correct perception of how to deal with anything. So then the Course says, when you correct, it says the errors of the ego and correction of errors lies in the relinquishment of the ego. So the correction of my error lies in the relinquishment of my fear. The correction of my error lies in the relinquishment of the idea that I'm separate from you. The relinquishment of my error is the relinquishment of the idea that what I'm doing for you is not equally benefiting me and that you are not equally part of me just like I'm a part of you. So then the Course goes on to say that the person might not be making any sense at the time, but when you correct a person, you're telling them that they're wrong, they might not be making any sense at the time, and it's certain that if that person is speaking from their sense of separation, their ego, their fear, they will not be making sense. Your task is still to tell them that they're right. See, with the Course, rather than, even though the temptation may be to try to figure out what I'm saying and then tell yourself, I didn't understand that, really the solution is in remembering the answer. The solution is in remembering the answer. And so whenever I go through the Course, I'm always looking to see what am I being told to do. So right there it says, well, you don't tell that person verbally that they're right if they're speaking foolishly. You know that they're right. What do you mean that your job is still to tell them that they're right, but you don't tell them that they're right verbally? Well, that person needs correction at another level. They need correction at the thought level. They need correction at the mind level, the course is saying, because that's where the error is. All errors are really coming from thinking. And then we're seeing the effect of the wrong thinking in terms of the behavior, the situation, or the circumstance that we're trying to deal with. Pencils, when a person robs the bank, you lock them up, then without changing, helping them change their mind, then you really haven't dealt with the real issue. But we like to deal with stuff at the court says at the symptom level because we think punishment is correction. So if I punish you, you know, if I write 4 and 4 is 22 and you smack me upside the head, now I'm supposed to know 4 and 4 is 2, is an 8. It's cool. See what I'm saying? In other words, punishment is not correction. I don't know anything any better just because you punish me. Unless you deal with me at the level of the mind, then we're not going to get a real change in the situation. But an unconscious mind always deals with everything at the level of form and behavior and outward appearance and does not deal with the content behind the form, what's going on behind the appearance. So the court says, I need to still tell you you're right. And the reason why I should tell you that you're right is because you're a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. You are an infinite, powerful creator. And that's what you really are, regardless of what you may think in error. You're still who you are. You know, I could think I was James Bond, but that wouldn't change who I really am. So who you really are has not been affected by any of the errors of thinking that you have ever had in your life. Who you really are has not been affected by anything that you believe about yourself right now that's not loving. You did not create yourself. So therefore, you can't change who you are by what you think. But what you can change is your perception of who you are and your perception of everything around you. And when you change your perception of everything around you, then you will see the love and the peace that you're looking for right now. That's why we could have happiness today, because the Course says that our Creator would never set it up where our happiness depended on something that we couldn't have now. We set it up that our happiness depends on something that we could have to have in the future. We set it up that I'll be happy tomorrow after I do such and such a thing. The Course says divine intelligence would never set it up where you could not have peace in what's real right now, because now is the only time there is. So real happiness is never anything you have to wait for. Real happiness is never anything you have to wait for. Real happiness is never anything you have to wait for. Real happiness is never anything you have to wait for. Because what loves us would not set it up that we could not be happy now, that we couldn't have peace now, that we couldn't have love now. I love that. I love knowing that. But you know what? I've set up a lot of fantasies and a lot of things I'd like to see happen, and then I'll be happy. That's my plan. I got a whole list of things. As soon as I get those things, then I will surely feel happy. And all of them going to happen in the future, provided I can manipulate everybody in my environment enough to get it. So the court says, well, don't worry about your ego being wrong, because your ego is always wrong, no matter what it says it does. So you have to try to figure out which part of your separated mind is wrong. The court says anything that comes from your separated mind is wrong, no matter what it says or does. If it's coming from a perspective of us being separate from each other, you know, I went to a rave last night, and it was spectacular. It would be the easiest way I could put it. And it was like an art festival. It's called Illusions in Sound. And it was a trip. I mean, it was incredible. It was incredible. And needless to say, most of the people were a lot younger than me in their body age. But I love the energy. I love the music. And I love the love, the sense of oneness that I was feeling all around me, and seeing everybody, you know, I was seeing everybody relate to each other in a very loving way. You know, if somebody walked up to somebody and said something to somebody, almost every time it was two, whether it was guys or whatever, it was like, it was a hug. Even if it was total strangers, it was a hug. So what I do is I try to check out every part of myself that exists in peace. I'm not there to judge. I was there to extend love. And I noticed that the people who judge pretty much never find themselves in loving situations like that. They end up being around other people that judge too. So then they have a judging party. So they sit around and judge. And then nobody really has a good time because everybody's too busy sitting around judging everybody to actually play. So what I do when I go into a strange situation, the first thing I do is remind myself that everybody in there is right. Everybody in there is a child of God. Everybody in there is an aspect of love. And more important than that, everybody in there is me in another body, me in another form, me in another appearance. Because you've got to set up the right perception if you want to have the right physical experience, because the physical experience comes from your beliefs, your perceptions, and your energy. So you've got to correct it in your mind first before you'll see the physical change in the outer. So if you're in any situation that you'd like to see change, then you have to change your interpretation of the situation to see the situation change. Okay, and I'm telling you, this is how you do it. I used to go into situations like that and then try to figure out how I could get something outside of myself and the person around me or the situation around me to change, then I'd be happy. The next thing I did was I remembered the Course in Miracles that the Holy Spirit, which is the part of me that is divine, that knows my illusions of being Earl Purdy in a man, and also knows the truth that I'm an unlimited spiritual being. There's a part of me that knows that I got an idea of myself as Earl Purdy, black man, and I also have an unlimited spiritual identity that's beyond Earl Purdy, black man. And the Course calls that our right mind, the Holy Spirit. So I asked the Holy Spirit, my inner teacher. The promise in the Course is that I take care of your real needs and I take care of your foolish needs. I take care of any needs you have. Just don't use what I give you on behalf of delaying yourself and lingering in the illusion even longer. All right? So I go into a situation like that, and I know I'll have the best experience if I let the Holy Spirit send the people to me that I'm supposed to connect with. Because the Course says that's what's happening in the class, that everybody that comes is sent. So when, no matter how many people are here or not here, I try to look at it as if these are the people that were sent today. So it has nothing to do with my ego feeling so much like I should be attracting a certain number of people and it should be getting bigger every week, and if I'm really successful, I should be in some big stadium by now teaching people. The truth is, the people that have come to my classes are the people that are sent by God. You know what I'm saying? It's not at all about my personality as it is the people that are sent. So I knew that there had to be people there that I would have some kind of connection with. So again, I had to get the right perception. And the right perception was, Holy Spirit, you send to me, I'll sit here as open and peaceful and loving as I can. And I was kind of like back in the back a little bit. You know, one of my guys was out front, sitting on the sofa. It was at Cervantes, which is a big club. And it was amazing that within about 15 or 20 minutes, I had people that were coming, young people that were coming over to me and communicating with me and sharing with me. It was kind of interesting, too, because one of the things that I was asked. Well, one young guy sat next to me, and he said, what brings you here, you know? And I said, well, you know, I love the energy, I love the music, I love the dance. And I'm here for the energy, I'm here for the loves. And he said, yeah, that's exactly why I'm here. I'm here too. But I tell you what, you are really cool. You know that? I can just feel you got this incredible energy. And I think that do you have any children? Yeah. Well, you got, look, they are so lucky to have you for a father, because you could come here and not try to judge what you see going on.
Yeah.
You know, turn my head another minute. A young lady sitting next to me, I was sitting there listening to music again. Another young lady said to me, she said, pardon me. I said, yes. She said, mind if I ask you a personal question? I said, no, you can ask me a personal question. She said, how old are you? and of course, she was like blown away, you know. But at the same time, then she said, you know what? This is my boyfriend. She said, I'm 36 years old. My daughter turned me on to this, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me. It saved my life. And he said, now, this is my boyfriend. He's 22. And so she was like hugging him and stuff, and I was like, I said, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. He really saved my life. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be here today. He's such a beautiful, and she was, I could tell that, you know, she was kind of feeling a little bit self-conscious about the age difference. I told her, look here, the only thing that matters is love. If you are experiencing love together and you seeing him as a loving being and supporting you, then that's what you're giving each other, and that's a blessing because you're sharing that with me right now, and I'm feeling it with you. And then she just, boom, and she just grabbed him and said, oh, he said, well, you know, it's like, I ended up with a bunch of them hanging on, taking pictures with everybody doing that before it was over with, you know. I can't tell you how many beautiful men and women walked up to me and was just extending. Now, all I did was sit on the sofa with the intention of being a loving presence, looking at myself out there, not judging anybody else, and not thinking that it was kind and right and good to point out the mistake of, like some people would try to do, and say, you shouldn't be with somebody 22 years old. Or whatever, try to point out an error and correct it. You see what I'm saying? Now, because I didn't see that as my role, all I had was a very loving, incredible evening that was just full of love and light and joy and peace. And I've noticed every time I go into any situation and I set my intention before I walk in the room, that's exactly what happens, rather than walk in the room and expecting somebody to make me happy. You know, I would walk in and go and see if who can I put a smile out at somebody? How can I bring some good energy? Because you are the child of God. You are a child of love. You are a child of light. You are the son of God. Oh. Now, this is the reason why. I'm going to drill this next sentence in. Okay, it's like one of those hammer sentences. I'm going to say this over and over again. All right. He says, if you point out the errors of your brother's ego, you must be seen through yours. I'll say it again. If I'm pointing out your error, I'm looking at it through my error. If I point out your ego, I'm looking at your ego through my ego. So the truth is, any kind of error that I see in you, the only way I could see that error was for me to have a corresponding error thought in my own mind. I can't see you as selfish unless I have selfish thoughts in my mind, or I could never see you as selfish. So every time you point out anybody's error, you're looking at it through the part of your mind that makes that same mistake in your own way. I want you to be with that for a minute. Anything I see in you, the error that I see in you, I'm looking at it through my own error consciousness. I'm looking at it through my own ego. So the advantage of seeing errors in other people, the advantage of seeing the mistakes in other people, the advantage of seeing the things that you think you don't like in other people, is that it so beautifully gets you in touch with what needs to be corrected in your own self. So all those things that are being pointed out, you know that that's the error of thought in your own mind. So that's what's so great. So I'm grateful to you all for anything I criticize you about in any way, because it makes me completely aware of what part of me is dealing with that exact same thing. It's so cool. And sometimes I have a lot of people that get me in touch with what it is that you guys about myself all around me. What about you?
Yeah.
All right. So the Course says that's because the Holy Spirit does not perceive his errors. The loving right mind does not see the mistakes and the fear. If it's a loving mind, it's not seeing mistakes. If it's a loving mind, it's just seeing a call for love. If it's a loving mind, it's just seeing you calling for help. If you're a loving man, you're just looking at it as a call for help. If I'm angry and a loving man looks at me, the loving man goes, you know that person has a call for love. If I'm jealous and I'm with a loving man, when the loving man looks at me, it's saying, boy, that's a call for love. See, the loving man is only seeing love or a call for help and healing or love. The fearful man is seeing the form of the error that it thinks that the person is making. Now, this is very important. Now, this is very different from the way that we've been taught. First of all, I need to get up in the morning as much as I can all day long. I need to try not to point out other people's mistakes. If I do see a mistake in somebody else, I need to recognize I'm seeing it through my own error consciousness. And I need to walk into work every morning saying, you know what? You all are right. All of you all are right. Y'all, you all, the boss is right, my coworkers are right, they're all right because they're children of God. They're children of the light because of who they are. Then you walk in and say, hey, I'm here to give and receive love. I'm here to give and receive love. It might look like I'm a secretary, but I'm really here to give and receive love. That's what I'm really here to do. Then it says, this must be true, that there's no communication between the Holy Spirit and the ego. There's no communication between a loving mind and a fearful mind. Fear and love do not communicate. I tell you, if you give a person who has a fearful mind a lot of love, they don't understand you. And then a person who's all about love, if they're around somebody that's always afraid, they don't quite understand them either. So there is no communication between the Holy Spirit and the ego. And the Course says the Holy Spirit doesn't attempt to understand anything that arises from the ego. So a loving mind does not attempt to understand anything that arises in a fearful mind. And since a loving mind doesn't understand the stuff that's going on in a fearful mind, the loving mind doesn't judge it. And the loving mind knows that nothing a fearful, separated mind does means anything. So what you start to do as you begin to wake up in spiritual awareness is you look at all this stuff that's going on in the world, and what you do on the inside is that you just don't judge it anymore, because doesn't any of it make any sense and none of it means anything. So the more loving you become, the less you judge any of it, because there's no need to judge something when you know what it is. You judge so that you can figure out how to deal with it. You judge because you're trying to understand it. But once you understand it, there's no need to judge it. And so what the Course has got to be telling us is that any time that I'm talking to anybody who really thinks they're separate from me, then I know that it doesn't really matter what they're saying, because they don't know the truth if they're making their judgment based on us being separate. They don't recognize the truth. So you find yourself not getting so upset at your friends and relatives simply because you recognize that they don't recognize what the truth is. And so they're not coming from a space of consciously trying to hurt you so much as they're coming from a place of unawareness. And as a result of that unawareness, they're doing things that bug you. So it's really coming from unawareness. Not from being vicious. They just don't know. Like Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And that's what Jesus said to a whole lot of people once you begin to wake up. Forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Please forgive me, because I don't know what I'm doing either. Because I found out the same attitude I'm being asked to take toward everybody else is the exact same attitude that Spirit is taking toward me. That makes me feel good. I'm glad to know that when I make a mistake, there's a mind that's greater than mine that sees what I'm doing as a call for help and a call for love and a call for healing. And it's not condemning me either. See, it's hard for me to believe that God isn't condemning me as long as I condemn you, because it's hard for me to believe that what I'm doing to you is not something that could be done to me. Right? So the more I treat you the way I would like to be treated by Spirit, the more I recognize Spirit is already treating me that way. So that's why I walked in there last night. It's like, okay, it's really about the love. It's really about the love. It's just all about the love. Then everybody that sat down, the only guy sat down there to me, he said, you know what? He said, I used to try to handle everything through violence. That was how I would handle everything. He said, but I realized after a while that just wasn't going to work. And so now I'm all about love. That's all I want. That's all I want to experience is love. That's all I want to give is love. And then the group before they left, they said, you know, I really like you, man. I really like you. You know that? That they just kept saying it to me. I really like you. And I was sitting there, hey, I really like you too. and they were saying, you know, you're a wise man. Now check this out now. I'm just sitting there. You know what I'm saying? But what's happening? I'm getting a physical demonstration of the truth that I'm studying because I'm applying the ideas. And that's what I meant when I said earlier that it's the application of the ideas that will show you that the ideas are true. It's not the analyzation of the ideas. And most people come to truth classes to just analyze instead of the application of the idea. And that's why they don't get the result. And they complain that it doesn't work, and then they go to some other curriculum and do the same thing. They go and listen to the idea and then go out and then live their life the way they did when they didn't know the truth and want the result. So here's a couple of points I want to throw out to you. Number one, as much as you can, the rest of the day, try not to think it's kind and right and good to point out everybody's mistakes. Okay, even though it might be kind of hard.
Yeah.
All right. Also, when you walk into a room, silently say, when you walk in, you are all right. You are all right. You are all right. And if you think you're separate from me, I know that nothing that you're going to say is really going to make any sense and really be based on the truth. So therefore, I don't have to get all upset with you about what you're saying, because if you think you're separate from me, you're going to make a mistake in how to deal with me. When I was a kid growing up in the South, it was so weird to me to see people judge people by the color of their skin. Something that was so prevalent in the South, at least when I grew up. And as a kid, I just thought, you know, what could be more of a lower level in awareness than it automatically don't like somebody because of the color of their skin? You know what I'm saying? But that's what the Court said. You think you're separate from me, and so you're going to make a mistake based on that erroneous perception of who we are. Same thing that happened with men and women. That whole thing of men are from Mars and women are from Venus and all the differences. That's the problem between the sexes, is they think they're different. Yes, at the level of the ego, the level that we think we're different, yeah, we appear to be different. But at the level of the truth, we're not different at all. We all create our own reality. Mm-hmm. We all have goals that we like to see be achieved. We all want love. We all sometimes go through fear. We're the ones that are taking responsibility for our experience.
Wouldn't that be like our ego gives, like, the lesson number one, our ego is like giving that perception that we think it is.
Right, that's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. When I, you know, it's your ego that's judging every situation that you go into, and that just simply means it's your ego that's interpreting what you think is happening. And then you then in turn experience the results of your interpretation of what's happening. You give everything you see all the meaning that you have, that it has for you. So the Course, that's what the Course is trying to get us to see, is that what you are experiencing is the result of your interpretation. So let me give you some correct interpretations. And one correct interpretation is for you to realize you are right. You are right regardless of what you've been taught. You are right regardless of what you think. Who you are is right.
Yeah. That's the news.
You are right. You are right. You are right.
You are right.
You are right. Okay, so the next line goes, when you react at all to errors, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. When you react at all to errors, you're not listening to your sane mind. That's deep. Because the Holy Spirit, which is the loving mind, is merely disregarded to errors. If you attend to the errors, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. If you do not hear your inner guide, and I like to interchange the terms so people understand what I mean by Holy Spirit. If you do not hear your inner guide, you must be listening to your own ego, which means you're making as little sense as the person whose errors you perceive. And making as big a mistake as the person that you perceive making a mistake is not correction. So the minute I get ready to correct your error, the minute I get ready to correct your error, the minute I get ready to correct your error, then I'm now making an error. Mm-hmm. If I'm not listening to the truth, I must be listening to my own error mind. I'm mad at you because you said something that I didn't like. Okay? Which means that I must not be listening to the truth. Because if I was listening to the truth, I would know that what the truth would tell me would be to see what you're saying as a call for love, realize that you would get me in touch with something within myself that needs to be corrected. And my truth mind would say, you know, the way I'm reacting to what you're doing is I'm giving it all the meaning that it has for me. So therefore, I'm really the one that's making myself mad. See, all that would go through your mind if you were actually listening to your right mind. But if I go, the way that I feel is being caused by you, then I'm listening and looking at you through my own error. I'm making an error to believe that my peace comes from something outside of myself. You're making the error of thinking your peace comes from something outside of yourself. So the truth is, we're both making the same error whenever we're trying to change each other. We're both saying to each other, if you change, I'd be happy. They say back to you, well, if you change, I'd be happy. So what we're both doing is we're both seeing each other through the error thoughts. So neither one of us are listening to God. Neither one of us are listening to the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
you don't have to believe this, you don't have to accept this, you don't have to welcome this. Some of this stuff you may actively resist, and some of it might be quite startling and hard to believe. Any questions? Any comments about anything? Stop. Literally. Stop. Say, you know what? I'm feeling a lack of peace. I need to change my perception. Let me work on myself right now, and I'll get back to you. When I get my perception corrected and I can see in more peace, then I'll get back to you. So what I found out about the truth is that there's nothing to do but to do it. You know what I mean? It's like I can make it complicated, but the truth is, if you get to the point where I'm getting mad, that means I must be misperceiving because I'm the one that gives myself the feelings that I have. So what I need is some new interpretations, and some new interpretations to give me some new feelings right now because I'm upset right now, but at least I can decide I don't like what I feel right now, and so I hope that I'm wrong. I want another way to look at your butt, but if there is another way to look at your butt, what can I lose by asking? I'll see you in a minute. I mean, that's what you literally do. You apply the truth. I know the old paradigm says, let's process it, let's talk it out, let's change you, let's fix you, let's da 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 da. But all of us have done that all our lives, and we know it don't work.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm saying something to anybody in here that is strange. We all know that we got that old program, and that if the other person would just change themselves in some way, this whole situation would be better. They would have to completely give up, even more than that, they would have to give up their attachment to suffering and pain. Yeah. But it's like when you say give up, like when you say, that's true, when you say stuff like, you know, you have to give up your attachment to control, that's very true. But that in a way is harder for a person to think about giving up. But if I say to you, that's your attachment to suffering, a part of the mind immediately goes, what? If it doesn't want to suffer. But we think somehow control is where it's at. You know, so the truth is, as long as I do the opposite of what Spirit is telling me to do, then that would mean that I'm attached to being right, and I'm still attached to being to suffering. But guess what? Spirit is still looking at me as if it's just a call for love. I'm still right, and I still deserve to be healed and helped because I'm a child of God. I love knowing that God doesn't look at me the way that I look at me, and also doesn't look at me the way other people tend to look at me. And so it don't even matter as much how other people look at me. Because what I've noticed is that the more I change my mind and practice the truth like I was telling you all, the more people come into my life who are loving like that too. So really the other people that are all about grievances and judgment and attack and control, they're just fading out of my life. So I really don't really care about what they think or what they feel because they're not in my life. And I don't have to officially call up nobody and say, I'm through with you. You don't have to do that. If you become a loving, sane person and you start trying to apply the truth every day in your life, people who want to suffer will avoid you and they will not be attracted to you. Your vibrations will become too different.
Mm-hmm.
And so they won't even be around you. You'll find that even though with the best of intentions, for some reason, you're not in each other's experience. But then those people in my life that usually cause the suffering in my perception are just those people that I'm still using to prove to me that there's still a part of me that's sinful or guilty still. They're just there because there's a part of me that still wants to feel like I'm not enough, that I need to change in some way, that I'm not really as good as I think I am. That I still have a residue of not loving me, so I have a corresponding person or relationship that reflects the last residue of that thought that I don't love myself. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? It's like that one situation that just can't seem to change. But no matter what you do, of course, calls that our belief in an unforgivable sin. That's where you really think you don't deserve to be happy. And what you're doing is keeping that person there, that situation there, as a witness to the fact that you don't really deserve to be happy. And so as soon as you go, you know what? I deserve to be loved. I deserve to have peace. I deserve to have a relationship that I feel valued in, and I deserve to have a relationship that I value the other person, and we recognize the truth, and we want the truth, and we have all levels, the passion, the emotion, the every aspect that I want to have in the relationship. So therefore, I don't need a person or a circumstance to witness back to me the idea that I don't deserve it anymore. And then you'll find that when you change inside like that, then the outer physical reality will make a corresponding shift. That's how you change the outer reality. You change the outer reality by changing your mind. You change the outer reality by changing your mind. Change the outer reality by changing your mind. You change the outer reality by changing your mind. And where I'm addicted to pain is where I won't let go. Because just as easy if you have somebody in your life pointing out your errors that need to be corrected, you can just as easily have somebody in your life pointing out the stuff that's beautiful about you that need to be acknowledged. That could be happening just as easily. Those people did not know me, and they were coming up and they were recognizing me, and that's what I looked at them and said, you know, so you really seem like you're a really good person. I say, I am. I am a good person. You're right. You're a good judge of character. You know, that's how I know if I can trust somebody. If they like me for real, then they're a good judge of character. Really, I mean that. Yeah, I'm a cool person. If a person recognizes that, then they can recognize cool people. Which means they must be a cool person, because remember, whatever you see in somebody else, you couldn't see it unless it was in your mind. See, they couldn't see that in me unless they saw it through the part of them that loved them and that accepted them. And so what the thing that impressed them was that I would be there a lot older, but totally in love and not judging, right? So I accessed the part of their mind that wanted to feel acceptance. And they wanted to feel innocent. And so they immediately recognized me because of my purpose. So whenever you correct somebody else, the Course says it's more than merely lack of correction for the other person. You're giving up correction in yourself. In other words, if I use the old ways of looking at things I learned before I got into truth, I'm giving up correction in myself. If I use everything other than what I'm studying, what my particular path is, then I'm giving up correction in myself. That's why I suggest to people, if it's not A Course in Miracles, please find some path of knowledge that you are willing to follow and you're willing to do. There's a point on the spiritual path that you realize you can't make up your own correction and healing. That whole game of I'm going to save myself through my own wits and information that I have, you give that up at some point on the spiritual path. You're not going to go through enough workshops, and you're not going to go through enough books. At some point you're going to have to go, I didn't create myself. There's something greater than me that I need to tap into for guidance. And so we've done that. And then what did it do? Well, it says, well, you're only loving and you're only lovable, and that's all you deserve to have. You're still right because you're a child of God. Stop trying to correct everybody around you, because what's happening is when you see an error in them that is something in you that needs to be corrected, as soon as you correct it in your own mind, you'll see a corresponding disappearance of that in your life. And that's how you get rid of it. So what I'm learning is what I need to work on in myself. They used to depress me until I realized that I wasn't doing this by myself. So therefore, it wasn't just something else I had to do on my own, added to the list of burdens I already had to do, including going to the cleaners. You follow what I'm saying? It's like if at the point you realize that you are not alone, it's the point you feel more peace about your path and the direction that you're going, because you don't feel like you're by yourself trying to do it. So the thing we want to walk out here with today with is, okay, well, that means that I can tell myself what I like to experience. If I don't make any decisions by myself, I can have what I want to experience. Because anything you're physically asking for is just the thing that you think is going to bring you the experience that you're hoping for. Any physical thing that you ask for is the thing you think is going to bring you the experience that you're hoping for. I want the car because I think it's going to give me some kind of experience of peace. I want the house because I think it's going to give me some kind of experience of peace. I want the relationship because I think it's going to give me some kind of experience of love. See, anything we ask for, the Course says, is just the thing we've made up that's going to give us the experience. So when you really are telling yourself what you want to experience, you're really telling yourself the thing that you think is going to give you peace. So what you really want is peace. What you really want is joy. What you really want is happiness. What you really want is fearlessness. And all the plans and all the things that you're doing is just the way you've made up in your mind that it's going to come to you. The most popular plan that people have made up is I'm going to change everybody around me and then I'll be happy. That's the most popular plan. Okay, and every time you use that plan, which is the opposite of God's plan, which you just heard, well then of course says, well, that's giving up correction in yourself. And so that's why the problem stays. The problem stays because you are not following the correction, because the correction is always easier than what we're doing. God's answer is always easier than what we're doing. It was a lot easier to sit on the sofa and watch the law of attraction work and then have the perfect people come up to me for me to hang out with and have a good time with than for me to walk in there on the hunt. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. The ego's plan is let me go in here and manipulate the environment in order for me to be happy. Let me go in here and get something. Spirit's plan is I'll send it to you because I know who needs you just the way you are, and the way you are is exactly what they need. So they would not only not be trying to change you, they'd be encouraging you to be more you. I'm through. You understand what I'm saying? Let me encourage you, be more you. I want to see a little bit more. I want to see more of you. I want to see more of you. And that's why I want to see in you. I want to see more of you. I want to see the you that you've always wanted to express, but you were afraid that it might get rejected or not be okay for it. You know, I love to meet people who are not acting out the script that they were given by society in the sense of their values aren't really their values. They're just the values that they were taught they should have, but they're not really following their heart. I like to be around people who follow their heart. And I like to encourage a person like that too. So if there's something you're trying to achieve, please let me know so I can join you with that, because I know you're not going to walk to me and say, girl, I'm planning to rob a bank. Could you join with me on that idea? You know, I know that you're not going to, I know what you're going to say is going to probably be something cool. So you don't be the wrong thing that I'm joining with you on. Thank you for sharing with me. I'm a full-time teacher of the course, and so I do it on a love offering basis so people can come regardless of their financial situation. And I trust that people will give from their heart and it'll all be good. If you, I bless the world because I bless myself. Okay? I bless the world because I bless myself. So that's going to be the emphasis. That's going to be the Course in Miracles lesson. And we're going to focus on that in about 3 minutes, and then we'll get a chance to go back out into the lab. And I'm so glad that you are here. I appreciate you so much.
I'm so glad you're here. If you weren't here, I wouldn't be here.
The next class, 1 o'clock on Thursday, 12 noon on Wednesday. So here we go. Are you ready? I bless the world because I bless myself. Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock on Thursday. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
you're right.
Yeah.